consultant, Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, and Jenny Tunkis, former reporter for the Kenosha News and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Hello, and welcome to WGTD's Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring, and today we will be hearing more about an organization, an effort really, called Art Root. Not only does it promote the arts in Racine and its individual artists, it creates projects that assist artists' development and Racine's quality of life. I'd like to welcome Nick Ramsey, one of the founding Art Root members, and Amboya Sharif, who is relatively new to Art Root. So let's begin with just what Art Root is.
Sure. So Art Root is a committee of artists and arts advocates who are determined to reinvigorate Racine through the arts. And the aim is to do this by building arts infrastructure, fostering connections, and facilitating collaboration among artists, organizations that are related to art, community groups, businesses, and the government. So we're basically just a motley crew of artists and representatives who want to see Racine thrive using art as one of the vehicles.
Now, you've been around a little bit longer than I had realized. Can you tell me, I can understand the mission, but how did you get started? Why did somebody say, hey, we got to have something like this?
Yeah, you know, I really wish I had the exact date because I feel like I should have that, but I feel like this goes back 7 years or so, maybe even a little bit longer. My time frame is a little bit off, but what it was at the past Racine Arts Council director, her name is Denise McKee Roberts. And Denise wanted to get basically a roundtable discussion of a select group of people who represent the writers, the musicians, the visual artists, some of the arts organizations, people who fund the arts, the museums, institutions, and basically, you know, kind of chat on how we could work together to, tackle our mission and our vision. So yeah, that happened, I say, about 7 years ago. And literally we just met at the Arts Council and we sat around a table. I think we did the whole post-it note thing, you know, answer some questions, put it up there, brainstorm. Then we started developing tactics, and you can go to the website. I mean, artroot.org lists it out very, very nice. So it's artroot.org. And you can find out the history, the about, the members. I mean, I can answer any of those questions to projects, events, press that we've had, resources. It was really an open-ended conversation. And I think what we came out of it many years later, realizing that we're all connected to different individuals and organizations. And with our powers combined, we could probably tackle most any goal we set out for. And so our goal was really to connect the arts even better than they have been, because they're kind of in silos, you know, if you understand what I mean by that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And
so that's
what's kind of interesting, Nick, is that so often organizations like this who do have the silos are so embedded in those silos that these kinds of trying to work together only go so far and then it falls apart. Yet you've got a pretty good track record. What do you think has been holding it together?
Well, we set up goals that were objective. And so we knew that as long as we kept it objective, meaning there's a timeline, there's, you know, an actual objectionable goal that we can meet. We set that up, and, you know, our goal was very simple at first. Let's start getting people together and talking. And so that was one of our first things we ever did, was what we call an art root arts mixer. And it's like a, you know, a mixer, or, you know, people getting together in a room, eat some food, drink some drinks, have some conversations and connect. And so it was a pretty simple goal of, let's try to do this a couple times a year. And we've just stayed consistent with that, you know, despite the pandemic period of time, we've stayed consistent with that. And then we identified a few other things, set goals, and just really have been making strides to, you know, keep on meeting those goals.
What sort of projects, in addition to the mixers, you say goals, and you've been sticking to your goals, but I'm sure you have different action items or projects in order to meet those goals. Can you give us a feel for what some of those have been over the years?
Sure. There's kind of, I'd say, more like three or four main things or projects that we focus on. Initially, with the whole mixers, we realized that's a good way for people to meet in person. We also wanted to have some resource cards or an area where we could share available resources for those people willing to, you know, find them and want to know more. So we literally started from the ground up, and, you know, one of those things was just Wikipedia page of Racine, Wisconsin, making sure that's updated and it includes a whole bunch of information about the arts and culture. So there's a great section, if you look up Racine, Wisconsin on Wikipedia, a huge section of arts and culture. So resources like places you can exhibit, places you can perform. So providing resources. That was kind of the second thing we decided that we really wanted to work on aside from the mixers. And then there's a few other things. There's a welcome wagon, which we offer to people who would like to know more, kind of more of a personalized sit down with artists and representatives to get to know a person's ambitions and goals and help them along their way and provide them with resources. So we do the welcome.
Excuse me, Nick, is that for new artists moving into the area or necessarily?
Can I ask?
Oh, yeah, jump in, Mobaya.
Mobaya, yes.
Sorry.
I moved here. I'm not from originally from Racine area. I moved here in 2016. I think maybe a year or two later, I decided to become a part of the arts community in Racine. And I actually moved into the was the 16th Street Studios. And that's where I met a lot of the art roots, which was a wagon, welcome wagon, actually. And I went to one of the mixers and then actually got mixed into the mix with the right. Different artists. So it's great resource for myself. And now I'm part of it, you know, a part of the community, the committee. So I started that with the Art Roots Welcome Wagon.
So tell me, what did you learn in that, let's say, the first year of working with the folks? Was there anything that surprised you about the Racine arts community?
It was very open, you know, and accepting of, because I am African-American woman, you know, and for me, and a lot of times different communities that do not welcome you, but they actually welcome me into the community. I learned a lot of different resources I can use, met a lot of great artists, you know. And speaking of that, because on December 3rd, there's an open house over there on 16th Street Studios.
Yeah.
Which has 72 artists in the building. All different kind. So that's December 3rd on a Saturday. And I have an office there. I also actually, I do a little, a few things also.
Yeah, and we'll talk about, I'd like to know more about both Amboya and Nick and their, and what you do as artists. But I wanted to, you know, get a little bit more background about ArtRoot before we move in that direction. So we've learned that there are about three or four projects and sharing resources. That Wikipedia page, that's pretty exciting. I'm glad somebody thought to really make that a focus.
Yeah, Jane, you know, like if you're new to town or you want to get involved with the art community, what do? You probably hop online and Google Racine Arts or something like that, and you're going to get a lot of different things that come up. But we figured when people just look up Racine, one of the first pages is Wikipedia. So literally one of the members took it upon themselves to go back and forth, because anybody can upload onto Wikipedia and edit it in real time. But it took about, I would say, 6 months or so of back and forth to update that site to really reflect the arts and culture in Racine. So that was huge. The welcome wagon, the mixers, the resource rat cards, all those things. And look, Maboya is a prime example of someone who, you know, tapped in and now is learning more and more and is becoming way more involved. So there's a couple other projects that I just want to mention, and we can go further into any of those if you have any questions. We model a lot of things off of what we see successes in other communities. So there was a in Milwaukee at the Pfister, the hotel. They have a writer in residence or an artist in residence. Actually, they have both, narrator in residence, a program there where a writer is in position, occupies a space at the Pfister, and is paid and compensated to do just that, is to write and to interview people. And we said, well, we could probably figure something out in Racine. There's tons of writers. So we created a Racine writer in residence program. And you can find that information again on artroot.org under the projects tab. So we have had over 12 writers in residence, and they're paid a stipend of, it's changed over the years, but about $1,200 to $1,500 for a 6 month position of residency. And they have some obligations that go along with that. But another way to support one of our art communities, the writing community. And in Charlotte, North Carolina, they had this Wall Poems of Charlotte program going on. And we said, well, we have poets around here. We have artists around here. We could do something similar in Racine. So we created the Wall Poems of Racine project. And we have successfully installed four wall poems, three of them outdoor, huge murals that include a selection of poetry from one of our local poets, along with artwork designed by University of Wisconsin Parkside's graphic design and typography students. So Maboya stepped up into a leadership role in the wall poems project, but those are, you know, it's about six different projects and things that we've got from the ground up and built upon.
And that's exciting. And boy, could you talk a little bit more about the wall poem project? That sounds pretty exciting. Where are the existing ones, and are you working on new ones in the future?
Hey, Nate, I'm sorry. What was the addresses of the different ones? I don't even have them written down.
Sure, yeah. So they're all in Racine, in the city of Racine. And the first one was completed in 2000 and was that 19? I should go back and look at this. 2020. So it's on It's on 16th Street, right across from the 16th Street Studios, ironically. And that is the 1400 block of 16th Street. It's on the north side of the road, and it features a wall, a poem designed by Laura Howder, and the poet is the late, great Aaron Lundquist. And it says, thanks to this rooted place that is so perfectly human-shaped, as we stand on the banks of this, the greatest of lakes. And so that's the first one. We had an unveiling party and walked around and checked out other public art displays. The second one is right up the road from there on Washington Avenue. Let me see if I have that address right in front of me here. That one is 1346 Washington Avenue. And it's on the south facade of that building. It features an excerpt from Kelsey Marie Harris's poem, When I Die, Bury Me a Tree. And it is, or the artwork was created by Kyle Rakes, from Parkside student. So those are the two of them in Uptown. The third one was done indoors, which is slightly different from, you know, these, in which we hired a different painter to install it. The first two and the fourth one were all installed by Dean Tadwater of Tadwater Sign Company.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And the third one was airbrushed in the Racine Public Library, right in the lobby when you first walk in, the back of the checkout area. That was done by Darren Hutcherson. Well, we call him D. Hutch, you know, his dad's got the same name. So D, the younger D, he did that, and that features poetry by one of the legends, you know, and longtime poetry contributors and artists in town, Dan Nielsen. So, yeah, we've really, really been blessed with the indoor and outdoor. The fourth one was just installed literally a month ago, 2 months ago, not even. And that's on South Memorial in what they call Midtown at 814 South Memorial. It features an excerpt from Ajwa Asentu, and the artwork was done by Janet Arriaga. So all in the city of Racine.
That is great. You know, you've talked about these projects, and they're very visible, and they contribute a lot. And what strikes me too is so many arts organizations are really either focused on performing arts or visual arts. It sounds like you try to combine several art forms in most of your projects and representatives from several art forms. Am I reading that correctly?
Maboya?
Yes. Like, for one thing, poetry is also art, and yes, graphic design is also art. So we combine the two. Is there another one, Nick? Just the art, the writing, the poems, and also more so graphic design.
Yeah, and you know, the third one was more of a, I'd say more of less of the graphic design and more of the painting. So yeah, that was a little bit different. It wasn't graphic design. So yeah, it's all about connections. I mean, you think about Root. You know, Roots connect, and we're trying to connect all of the artists and art organizations and really just build with each other. And I mean, artists can make anything happen, which is awesome. We are very intentional to be as inclusive and welcoming as possible.
Well, and I think it's so impressive, the name that you've come up with, because you just talked about how roots are interconnected. It's the foundation for a growing organism, but it's also a very important word or name in Racine with Root River. So good work, whoever came up with that.
I think they all just kind of threw things out and it stuck.
It worked. So some of those projects that you've mentioned cost a little bit of money. Where does funding come for Art Root?
Great question. So all of these things definitely cost some money. The Wall Poems project specifically has had a number of different contributors. So I'm going to just name as many as I can think of off top. I got to make sure I try to get everybody. So there's a couple that are on the Art Root committee who run a family foundation, which is called the Osborne and Sekich Family Foundation. And they, you know, they don't really like being advertised or promoted too much, you know, because they're behind the scenes, they're helping. But I'll tell you, like, I really just got to speak up and say, you know, they are so committed to funding arts programs and organizations, and they really have stepped up. It's just a husband and wife. I really, you know, I commend them and really, you know, take my hat off for them. So they are incredibly important. Alongside that, there's an Art Seed program through the Racine Arts Council. And mm-hmm. so that's a grant program. So we've written grants from the Racine Arts Council and received grants. We've also written grants, a tag team approach with a bunch of different members from the committee, from the Wisconsin Arts Board. And the Wisconsin Arts Board gets money from the state of Wisconsin and the National Endowment for the Arts. So there is money coming in from all of those above. And then there are some other private donors that that have given some money also. Jerry Hirschberger contributed some money towards one of the Wall Poems. The old, no longer in existence, cafe, it was called Circa Celeste Cafe. They contributed significant funding for the first one. And there's just a number of other people that, you know, contribute here and there. So it really is a lot of organizations and individuals and family foundations.
No, that's very helpful. I'd like to talk and change gears just a little bit and talk with each of you about your particular commitment to the arts and what you are involved in, because I know when your names were given to me, I was like, whoa, okay. So, Amboya, could you begin, and especially since you're new to the area, perhaps people aren't quite as aware of how you're involved in the arts.
Well, I am involved by, well, first of all, I consider myself an artist in general, but I'm also a writer. When I first came to Racine, I had a couple of children books, and I had talked to the library, and they put it into the library for me. So now I went to the Gateway for graphic design or communications, and I have a degree in that. So I also do some photography. I also do some graphic design. I have about 4 or 5 books out there for on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google Books. And I also have a store, Midwest Market on Rapids Drive. It's inside of Midwest Market on Rapids Drive, called Dose of the Reality LLC. And also I'm in the studio, 16th Street Studios over here in the Racine. So
That's great. And you had mentioned the event that's on December 3rd. It's the 16th Street Studios. That's a great way of coming in and getting exposed to so many of the artists who have studios there. That I used to go years ago, and it has grown so much since.
during the pandemic, I myself was not in there actually like 2 years, but as it has grown since then, actually, more and more people has come.
That is super. So Nick, how about you? I know you've been in the arts for quite some time.
Yeah, I do want to just go back real quick and say we also got a donation from the organization Get Behind the Arts, which disbanded last year. So they contributed whatever they had in their bank account to five organizations in Racine and five organizations, art organizations in Kenosha. So Art Root was one organization that received some funds for the Wall Poems Project. So I got to make sure we mention the Get Behind the Arts crew too. So,
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I also forgot to mention that I'm on a committee of Kenosha Racine Poet Laureates. I'm on a committee with Art Roots with Nick. Okay, go ahead, Nick.
you know, when you are found as an artist, and not only an artist but an organizer and someone who actually does what they say they're going to do, you get asked to be on 100 different boards. Jane, I think you know what that's like.
Yeah.
So but you get to meet everybody, and you see a very small number of people doing so many different things. So I think part of the goal also with Art Root is to build that number of people that want to contribute and participate in the process. So 16th Street Studios, definitely go check that out on December 3rd. I think it starts at 10. Is that right, Maboya?
I'm not 100% sure.
But I'm pretty sure. We can look that up. If you could look that up in the interim here, but I think it starts at 10. But that you could spend all day there and not get to every studio. But that's a great way for you to connect with artists, for sure.
I'm going to jump in there, Nick, and do some shameless promotion that after they've seen some fabulous art at the 16th Street Studios on December 3rd, they should come over to the Kenosha campus for Gateway Art and Craft Fair, the holiday giving show. That is also a great way to see what people have been creating and to get some gifts. And that is on the same day from 9 till 3. There, my commercial is done. Go on, Nick.
No, that's good. That's what's up.
The studio is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah, so maybe the third. Maybe start
with Gateway.
Gateway, yeah. You know, another thing to mention, and I didn't realize this, but, you know, Maboya and I are both graduates from Gateway. So much love to WGTD and Gateway. I graduated from there in 2005 with a physical therapy assistant degree, associates, and I really love Gateway. So, you know, they do the greatness over there, you know, Jane. So,
well, it's funny, Nick, your testimonial for Gateway from 2005, that's the year I came back to Gateway. So your name and face was like all over all of our materials at the time when I became marketing director. So yeah, I've known your name for a long time.
Wow, I didn't even know that. Yeah. So, how about that? Well, so as far as me as an artist, you know, I'd say I started kind of in the art world being surrounded by it. My family's very much into arts in regards to like music, in regards to visual art. So I was surrounded by it, my older brother, my cousins, my aunts. uncles, they all kind of practiced a bit. Even my dad played some music, and so kind of grew up around it. And when I was about 15, that's when I really started jumping in a lot more. I have an older cousin who used to do something they call freestyle rapping. I don't know if many people know about that, but it's kind of like improv. It's like jazz a little bit, where you're just going on the spot, creating lyrics and lines, usually to a backing instrumental or a beat. And you kind of do it. It's like a little game almost. So I started practicing that, you know, back when I was 15. I'm like 40 now, so, you know, however many, 25 years ago. And, you know, that led to writing songs and writing poems and recording and putting together a band and starting to organize events where people could share their stuff, the open mics and festivals. So I like to say I represent a crew called Family Power Music. It's an LLC. There's three founders. We're all artists. And we're a national company, an organization. And we always say we're artists empowering artists. So, you know, we're visual artists a little bit. Mostly we're performing and literary artists. That's where I put myself. I have a couple CDs out there, a couple of books out there. I'm working on more of all of that. We host open mics and festivals and big events. We also do some teaching, creative writing, songwriting, poetry, storytelling, performance opportunities. So I'm kind of more in the literary arts and performing arts, and I think Mavoy is kind of literary arts, but also visual arts. So yeah, we run the gamut a little bit.
Well, and tell me a bit about some of the other members. You mentioned the Osbournes and how involved they are in making sure Racine Arts are promoted. What about some of the other members and what their, I guess, their main involvement in the arts might be?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and just go way back to the beginning. So around that first table, we've always had about 10 to 12 committee members. So initially, we had a guy by the name of Gary Wolf, who's a visual artist, and he had a studio downtown on 6th Street. Pretty well-renowned artist. Obviously, Vera Sekich and Rob Osborne, the Osborne and Sekich Family Foundation. You know, Vera is a visual artist, and Rob's a photographer, and, you know, they also have the Family Foundation. So those three. Emily Montgomery, who her family owns the 16th Street Studios property. And she's a visual artist, and also her and her husband, I think they're just now kind of transitioning out of there, but they've helped really create that space, 16th Street Studios. She was at the table. Denise Roberts McKee, who was the president or a director, executive director of the Racine Arts Council, who called the meeting together. Katie Markson, or Madison, what's it called? Katie was her involvement was she and her husband had Bell City Magazine. So yeah, that no longer exists, mm-hmm. but you know, they definitely promoted the arts a whole lot. Katie Humphrey, that's her name now. Sorry, it was Madison before. No. And then there's Katie Markson, which I don't actually remember exactly who that was. Maybe that was a short-lived visit. Nick Dembski, who many people know as, you know, he's a poet. He's also now the deputy director of the public library. And, you know, he was one of the initial members. Samira Gittesis, Samira runs Black Eyed Press, and that was on 6th Street next to the Arts Council until she moved into 16th Street Studios. Those were, I feel like, Deborah Karp, who is a visual artist. She does mostly like a lot of ceramics, but she's also a representative from Parkside in the Community Engagement Department. And she's on the board for the Arts Council. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Oh, yeah. Jessica Zalewski, who was at the time the marketing director at the Racine Art Museum. She's also a photographer and a writer. Maureen Fritchin, who's a visual artist, co-founder and chairperson who helped run the Racine Kenosha Get Behind the Arts Studio Tour, which is no longer in existence. But I mean, that's just some of the people that were initially involved. And just to get a couple more names out there, Danielle Johnson, who was with like Wingspread and the Johnson Foundation. Dee Hutch, who, you know, visual artist, tattoo artist in town. Let's see who else is on here. Elmer Galone, website designer, visual artist, photographer. Trace Chiodo, a graphic designer, visual artist. John Zarin, visual artist, coordinator at Gateway's Fab Lab. Maboya is the newest member. Christina Campbell, who is the owner of the branch at 1501. And the leader of the Art for Uptown movement. She's really incredible. So we host a lot of our mixers at her location. It's just really well suited for it. And then Trisha Blasco, who is the curator of education for the Racine Art Museum in Worcester. And she's also an artist and designer. So there's a lot of people that have and still are part of Art Root.
I just think it's fascinating how you've been able to pull people together, and there's, it's not really like a dues paying organization, correct?
Not at all. No, we're just all volunteers, you know, for the committee. There are some stipends that go out for coordinator positions. So the coordinator for the writer in residence, coordinator for the wall poems. There are small stipends that go out into those positions, you know, and much of those are either paid by the Osborne Sagich Family Foundation or through some of the grant funding. Yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, do you have regularly scheduled meetings, or is it pretty much you don't really pull other artists together except for those mixers, correct?
We meet kind of like every other month. It always starts with a free meal, which is nice. And we just sit around, kind of catch up, and then go through the agenda. It's very tight but loose at the same time. We don't have to do the whole, like, you know, voting, like ayes and nays and, you know, motions and stuff like that. It's not that strict or whatever, but it is about every other month. And we do invite artists or potential new members to join us if they have ideas they want to share. You know, we've definitely invited a lot of different people to the table to, you know, help them with their projects too.
Well, and I think that that's what's trying to get a picture of what happens is bringing people to the table. How would you help them? How do you identify some folks who you want to hear from? That's entirely clear to me, because I'm so used to, you know, formal organizations, which you sort of are and you sort of aren't.
Yeah, I think it's better that way. Maboya, what do you think about, because Maboya came to a meeting this last time and it was her first meeting. Like, what was your experience?
Very friendly, very comfortable. It wasn't professional. I would say professional, but that's not correct. But it was just comfortable, you know. just lay back, and we was eating and talking and laughing, and because I was kind of nervous, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of nervous. All these important people to me, I consider them important people. You know, I was invited to be on a board, so that was very important to me. But they made me feel very comfortable. So,
what did you feel like you learned from that first meeting from those important people? Because you're right, they sound, all of you sound like you're super involved and talented.
Well, I was amazed because you have a lot of organizations and they're just that, not doing much, you know. And I saw that they were actually doing things, making a change and working on making a change. And I that's what I liked about it. They were serious and sincere and things were happening, were moving.
We have just 2 minutes left, but I wanted to get a feel for what you think the next maybe major projects or things that are on your radar that you're hoping you might be able to address in Racine in terms of the arts.
I'll take 1 minute and then Maboy, you want to close out?
Okay.
So we are going to continue all of the aforementioned projects and just continue to find new walls, new spaces for wall poems. Hopefully, this is one of my goals, is to find some new leaders to step up into coordinator positions and lead some new initiatives, further connect everybody we possibly can. And we have a huge tactic list on our website, artroot.org, that you can see what we're going towards. We're really trying to tackle as many of those short, medium, and long-term tactic goals as possible. So that's where we're at.
And Boya?
I'm hoping that we try to connect with the younger generation, you know, with the arts community, because we need leaders in that sense too, where in the future they can take over. So I'm hoping we connect with the younger generation.
We've been talking with Nick Ramsey, one of the founding members of ArtRoot, and Mboya Sharif, a relatively new member. Together, you've offered a great perspective of what ArtRoot offers. And a reminder to all of our listeners that you can go to their website at artroot.org to learn more. I'm Jane Herring, and thank you for joining us today on Community Matters.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
WGTD's Morning Show. Insightful questions put each week to the nation's top authors.
Those are great questions. It always makes for a better interview, for at least for the author, when the interviewer has actually read the book.
You're such a good interviewer. My gosh.
You really made me think. You really read the book.
Yeah. No other interviewer has really gotten into that. You really brought out some really great points.
Greg Berg holds the Morning Show weekdays after the 8 o'clock news, only on WGTD.
All this week on WGTD's Christmas Noon Tunes, we're featuring the music of Larry Zarletti from Kenosha.
Greeting cards have all been sent. The Christmas rush is through.
At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, now through Christmas Eve, we're featuring a Christmas song by a local artist. So join us for Christmas Noon Tunes Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
Merry Christmas, darling.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show, you're going to hear the story of Robert J. Young, a retiree and amateur pilot who suffered some painful professional and personal reversals that ultimately forced him to declare bankruptcy. In the wake of that, he decided to fly his very small plane across the country, reconnecting with good friends and with the country that he loves. The result of that trip is a book called Vagabond Pilot, A Journey of Discovery and Renewal. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
In a world filled with possibilities and wonder, we can always find grace in between the music. Join me, Lily Maselli, host of In Between the Music, and enjoy trivia and music together. For dates and times, visit WGTD.org.